Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. It is 3:30 p.m. here on Monday, March 2nd. We are in the Belts Committee room here in the State Capitol building, located in very snowy downtown Juneau. I just want to remind folks who are here in the room with us, if they could please mute their cell phones. Documents for today's meeting are available on BASIS. They have been distributed to members, and additional copies are right there by the door. Members present today is President Stevens, Senator Keel, Senator Yunt, and myself, Senator Lukey Gail-Tobin. Please let the record reflect. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I want to thank Susan from the Juneau LAO for moderating today's meeting, and Mary Gwen, as always, from joining us from Senate Records to document today's discussion. On the agenda today is a second bill hearing for Senate Bill 110, establishing the Museum Construction and Major Expansion Grant Program. We will also have our first hearing of Senate Bill 238 related to library materials. We will be taking public testimony on both bills today. If you would like to provide public comments for today's bill hearings, please call the following telephone numbers. If you're calling from Anchorage, the number is 907-563-9085. From Juneau, the phone number is 907-586-9085. The other phone number to call, toll-free, is 1-844-586-9085. That's from all other locations. You can also testify from your local legislative information office or email your public testimony to senate.education@akleg.gov. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. For folks who wish to testify, I will ask you to take yourself off hands-free, speak directly into the microphone, otherwise your voice may get distorted. Additionally, I will be limiting public comments to 2 minutes each. All right, first item on today's agenda is Senate Bill 110, sponsored by Senator Scott Kawasaki. We first heard this bill on April 2nd of 2025. A new CS has been distributed to committee members, work draft labeled 34-LS0-645-G, as in Galena. Senator Kawasaki's staffer, Maddie Hull, is with us today to explain the changes from version N to version G.
Maddie Hull, staffer, Senator Scott Kawasaki, for the record. Through the chair, I am happy to explain the changes from version N to version G. So starting off on page 1, line 5, adds language major renovation, as well as page 1, lines 6 through 9, adds language major renovation to those lines. page 1, lines 8 and 9 replaces the language Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to the Department of Education and Early Development. Page 1, lines 9 through 14 on page 2 and lines 1 through 5 delete the language from version N. A grant may be awarded for construction of a new facility or major expansion to, and then the various sources, which is then replaced on page 1, lines 9 through 14, and page 2, lines 1 and 2. A grant may be awarded to a museum for construction of a new facility to increase the square footage of an existing facility by at least 10% to physically upgrade an existing facility to improve a space in an existing facility to allow a museum to improve the educational services provided to the public. Changes also include page 2, lines 11 through 17, deletes the language to be eligible for a grant under this section. An applicant must provide matching funds from. And then page 2, lines through 6 through 10, replace the deleted language to be eligible for a grant under the section. An applicant must apply on a form provided by the department, be located in the state, and provide matching funds from other sources in the amount equal to or at least 50% of the total proposed grant project costs. Page 2, lines through lines 20 and 21, delete the language in section F. In this section, department means the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that analysis. Are there any questions? Seeing none, President Stevens, may I have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 110, Work Order 34-LS0645-G, as our working document.
Without objection, Work Order 34-LS0645-G is adopted as our working document. Senator Kawasaki, would you like to make any additional analysis or comments regarding this piece of legislation?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Education Committee. Scott Kawasaki for the record. Pleased to see Senate Bill 110 moving forward to us. All I want to say is that museums like libraries are repositories for our history and for our culture. And this bill would, I think, go a long way in ensuring that our history and our cultures are preserved for future generations, and especially our children. I also wanted to say that we do have another bill that's on the Senate floor tomorrow, or Wednesday, I guess it would be, relating to, sort of in the similar vein, a construction and major expansion grant funding program for firehouses, which also uniquely very important to have across the state. And the fiscal notes that are attached to that one are not at all like the one that you see before you. So I'll just say that, we hope when this bill eventually gets to the Finance Committee that they review the fiscal notes and scrub them up real well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. Seeing no additional questions from committee members, we will now move on to our fiscal notes. We are joined by Sandra Moeller of the Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development to walk us through the fiscal notes or answer any additional questions from committee members. Ms. Moeller, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. For the record, this is Sandra Moeller, the Director of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. And you do see the fiscal note that we have. Should this go to our division? Are you able to hear me okay?
We can. If you could speak a little bit closer into the microphone, though, that might be helpful.
Okay, thank you. This is Sandra Moeller. I am calling in to answer any questions to the fiscal note. My understanding is the bill sponsor would like to move this grant from commerce to education. So the discussion on the fiscal note may not be appropriate.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And we know this bill will move to finance, and so there they can have the updated fiscal notes after the CS has continued on its journey. Any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll now move on to invited testifiers. We are joined on Teams with the Alaska Native Heritage Institute Director of Grants, Gregory Stewart. Mr. Stewart, can you hear us? Mr. Stewart? I do not see you online at this point in time, so we will move on to our invited testifier who is here in person. We are joined by the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitor Center Executive Director, Tanya Klukas. Ms. Klukas, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. So for the record, my name is Tanya Klukas. I live in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I am representing myself, though I am the executive director of the Morris Thompson Cultural and Visitors Center, and I also serve on the University of Alaska Museum of the North Museum Advisory Council. So thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 110. Last year, this committee heard from many institutions describing aging buildings, deferred maintenance, and storage challenges. These issues remain. What SB 110 offers is something Alaska museums and cultural institutions have not had, a predictable, structured capital matching framework. Museums are educational infrastructure, and infrastructure is huge in Alaska. At Morris Thompson, we serve thousands of students annually through curriculum-aligned programming, cultural education partnerships with Tananaw Chiefs Conference, and we provide public interpretation. The University of Alaska Museum of the North supports research, supports higher education, and it is responsible for the stewardship of a wide variety of collections, many of which are required by the federal government for them to maintain with no support. And that represents Alaska's scientific and cultural record. These are not discretionary spaces. They are part of our state's ecosystem. Capital infrastructure, as I said before, it matters. Proper collection storage protects irreplaceable artifacts. Adequate HVAC systems preserve materials for future researchers. Secure and accessible exhibit space allows institutions to expand educational programming and community engagement. The matching structure in SB 110 is important. By requiring local participation and private investment, this bill ensures that the project reflects demonstrated community support. State participation does not replace local commitment, it leverages it. For many institutions, including those in our rural communities, the ability to point to a defined state matching program strengthens their ability to fundraise and opens access to additional federal and philanthropic grant opportunities where match is required. In this way, the state's contribution becomes a multiplier rather than the sole source of funding. So, I would encourage the committee to ensure that the final structure supports major renovations, as we've just discussed with the committee substitute. I hadn't seen it when I wrote my testimony. As well as expansion and preservation of existing facilities, because this is often crucial to new construction. I would also encourage attention to implementation so that this program becomes an active and usable tool and not simply yet another program that exists in statute with no support. SB 110 represents a long-term investment in educational and cultural infrastructure across Alaska, and I appreciate the committee's consideration of this bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Klukas. Is there any additional questions? Seeing none, I want to thank you again for joining us here in person.
It's always a delight to see you all. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move on to public testimony. I now open public testimony for Senate Bill 110. Is there anyone here in the room who wishes to testify? Seeing none, looking online, and that there is no one online to testify, I'll now close public testimony. It is my intent to hold SB 110 until a future meeting. If the anyone has any questions or concerns or would like to work with the bill sponsor and amendments, please do so. We will set an amendment deadline for this Thursday at 5 p.m. And with that, we'll now move on to our next item on the agenda. Our next item on the agenda is the first hearing for Senate Bill 238, sponsored by Senator Scott Kawasaki. We are joined here by Senator Scott Kawasaki and also his teammate, Jenna Calhoun. If you would like to join us here at the dais. If you'd like to put yourselves on the record and begin your presentation when you are ready.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Education Committee. For the record, Senator Scott Kawasaki, District P, which is Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger.
For the record, Jenna Calhoun, staff to Senator Scott Kawasaki.
And I will go ahead and start before presentation. Senate Bill 238. Senate Bill 238, public and school libraries are the depositories of knowledge for Alaska. For some Alaskans, they are the only places where they can access material and information freely. Senate Bill 238 ensures that these institutions can protect this marketplace of ideas while also allowing a deliberate and certain policy for which reading materials are curated. Library patrons are also able to request reconsideration of library materials that lack serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value in the bill. Public and school libraries serve a broad community with vastly different viewpoints, so the materials they contain should also reflect the varying perspectives and beliefs of their patrons. Senate Bill 238 also protects librarians and school employees who follow the rules by appropriately curating those library selections. The bulk of Senate Bill 238 concerns creating a statewide policy for considering library materials. It would empower patrons for both public and school libraries to challenge materials lacking any literary, artistic, or political or scientific value. Under the policy, library materials must be considered as a whole, not judged by just a few passages. A trained library employee by the institution will be part of the review process to ensure that there's professional guidance throughout the situation. And for school libraries, the age and developmental stage of students will be considered. Furthermore, if a school or if a public or school library already has a reconsideration policy that meets the requirements of Senate Bill 238, they don't need to change their policy. Senate Bill 238 further provides protections to librarians and school employees who may be unfairly targeted by individuals acting in bad faith or who would seek to have them fired or even imprisoned for merely allowing a library patron to freely check out materials. Lastly, Senate Bill 238 creates a private right of action that allows students, their parents or guardians, authors, booksellers, or publishers to commence a civil action if a library material is unduly censored. This gives power directly to those affected by the censorship and provides an avenue for recourse. The goal of these cases would be to provide injunctive relief to ensure that the wronged party could gain access to the material or have their materials available to the public. Though Senate Bill 238 is considerate of the costs, such cases can incur on the plaintiff and allow those to be recouped. The legislation is about protecting the intellectual landscape for all Alaskan citizens, from kindergartners who are just learning to read to the octogenarian who has enjoyed a lifetime of reading. Senate Bill 238 ensures that the process to ensure these libraries are filled with materials of serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value, thus enabling our citizens to access a marketplace of ideas where they have the freedom to choose what they read, free from government, special interest, or partisan interference. And I will defer the rest of the Senate bill discussion to my staff, Jenna Calhoun.
For the record, Jenna Calhoun, staff to Senator Kawasaki to present on SB 238, what we call the Freedom to Read Act. And as I go through the presentation, I would ask the committee to consider the quote, "If you only read the books that everyone else is reading, you can only think what everyone else is thinking." So an overview of SB 238, we have three core objectives in this piece of legislation. One is to establish a statewide policy for considering and reconsidering library materials. The second is to provide protections for librarians, school employees, and museum employees. We did work with a Freedom to Read coalition, and this was something they specifically requested for us to include in the legislation. And the third is to create a private right to action to empower the students, their parents and guardians, and the authors, booksellers, and publishers of Alaska to be able to take their own situation in their hands if they are faced with a case of censorship. So first we'll start talking about the statewide policy for library materials. SB 238 would create a model policy for the curation and reconsideration of library materials in both public and school libraries. And at a minimum, this must recognize the importance of library as a center for voluntary inquiry and the dissemination of information, and it is a marketplace of ideas. These libraries are serving a vast community with differing viewpoints, and they should have information available to all the patrons that will be coming in to ensure that they are fully represented. It also must prohibit the removal of library material from a public or school library based on the origin, background of, or views expressed by the library material are those contributing to its creation. It needs to recognize that the library material is provided for the interest, information, and enlightenment of all patrons, and again, should present a wide range of points of view in the collection. Libraries are nonpartisan, and the library material contained within may be partisan, but again, they are adhering to a wide community, and so all materials should have the opportunity to be present in that institution. It should promote the free expression and free access to ideas by prohibiting censorship of library material. Because once you start putting a mark on a book, when does that stop? It is a slippery slope to say, well, we can't read this library material. At what point in time do you stop that? So the library should have access to all information despite the origins or the backgrounds contained within the library material. And then it needs to establish a procedure based on professional standards for a librarian to review the inclusion of library material in a library on an ongoing basis. And what it must consider is the relevance, the condition of these library material, the availability of duplicates, as well as the continued demand for library materials. So these librarians are professionally trained to take these statues into consideration to create a collection that's going to better serve their community. Now, specifically for school libraries, the chronological ages and the grade levels of students in the school will be considered. The school librarians are trained to ensure that the collection within the school libraries are catered for their students. That is considered in this legislation. Now, for school libraries, it also acknowledges that, again, the school librarian is professionally trained to curate and develop a collection for students to access the widest array of developmentally relevant library material, and it, again, created for the chronological ages and grade levels of the students in the school. Education is very important in Alaska. You, being on the Senate Education Committee, have a duty to ensure that all knowledge can be accessed by our students so they are able to further their studies. And if we are censoring material within their school libraries, then we're censoring their learning as well, something that we, Senator Kawasaki, is not a proponent of. Now, there must also be a process of reconsideration within this policy. Libraries must create a model form and a procedure for the reconsideration. Who can make this request? For a public library, those who can make the request is an individual who has used the services of the library within the last 5 years and reside within its designated service area. And then for a school library, it's going to be those who are the teaching within the school, those who are employed by the school, as well as the parents and guardians of the school's students enrolled at that institution. This prevents outside actors from, let's say, Florida, trying to come into Alaska and sticking their nose in our business. These libraries are going to be catered towards the communities that they are serving, and those who are asking for the reconsideration must also be served by the library in which they are asking for that reconsideration of the library material. And again, students are absolutely able to participate in this process as well. This legislation empowers students to be active participants in their own institutions. Now, during this process of reconsideration, it requires that the library material must be considered as a whole. No challenges can be made based off of selected passages taken out of context. For example, I'm a huge fan of Stephen King. If I wanted to, I could comb through, let's say, the book It and find some phrases that might make your toes curl. But that book still has literary value as a whole. And when you read those passages, it contributes to the overall story and the overall message that Stephen King, the author, wanted to give. And so if, again, we must consider these passages as a whole, because anything taken out of context can be made and framed in a negative light, and that's not into the intention of the original author. Now, during the process, the library material will not be removed from circulation and remains available to patrons. We do not want this reconsideration process to be an ad hoc way to censor library materials, where over and over again, library material will be applied for reconsideration and now it's no longer able to be circulated. And this process also requires that one librarian that is employed by the library to be involved in this process. They are professionally trained to consider these books, and so they will be a part of the process to ensure that they are able to lend that expertise to this system. And this also does allow for an appeals process. It's not going to be a one-and-done kind of system. If somebody feels that the reconsideration process that they applied for needs to have a second look, they are, again, able to appeal, and that appeal process would follow the same statutes right here. So the book would still remain in circulation during the appeal process. We'll continue to talk about what the statewide policy contains, the governing body of a school library and a school board must adopt the model policy that is created unless the policies they've enacted already correspond with the stipulations in the state policy. We are not here to infringe upon local control. We are just here to create a statewide standard for people to adhere to. Now, the governing body of a library and a school board may not remove library material based on the origin, background, or views expressed in the material or those contributing to its contribution. For example, there is a case in Texas where brown bear, what do you see, was banned mistakenly because a Texas school board member thought that the author was a different political author. And so without even reading the book, brown bear, what do you see, they banned it because of a mistaken identity of the author. So this policy would take that situation off the table. The governing body of a library and a school board may not, based on a disagreement with the library's material, depiction of race, gender, sexuality, religious views, or political views, prohibit a library from acquiring a material, maintaining that in their collection, displaying it for people to see for checkout, or restrict its searchability. They can't just put it in the back and hope that nobody sees it. People need to be able to freely access all this information, nor require parental permission to check out the book. If a young person comes into a public library and is guided to a book that they want to read, they are able to do so without the infringement of a parent saying you're not able to check it out. This does not mean the parent does not have the right then to see the book at home and impose their own values on that book, but the librarian is allowed to check that book out to that child. The governing body of a public library, based on objections to sexual content, may not restrict the library from acquiring, maintaining, displaying, restrict searchability, or require parental permission to check out the material unless it, taken as a whole, speaks to the prurient nature of the community. What that means, because that is a very litigious word, prurient, is the work cannot be designed specifically to arouse sexual desire within the standards of that community. When taken as a whole, it depicts or describes in a patently offensive way sexual conduct defined by AS 11.66.150, or as a whole, lacks serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. These are stipulations that we took from California v. Miller, which is the Supreme Court case that defines what obscenity is. So if according to the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, California v. Miller, the book is offensive, then yes, that book can be taken off of the shelves. But if it does have literary, artistic, political, or scientific value, and it is not speaking to the prurient nature of the community, these books are still allowed on the shelves. And an employee is immune from civil and criminal liability arising from good faith actions along with this policy in this section. Which brings me to the protections for librarians. As I said, Senator Kawasaki did work with a coalition, including librarians, to ensure that this policy was what they were wanting, and they specifically asked for these protections. So sections 1 through 3, they provide an affirmative defense for employees or officials of a school, museum, or a public library under Alaska statutes 11.41.452, an enticement of a minor, AS 11.51.130, contributing to the delinquency of a minor, and AS 11.61.128, distribution of indecent materials to a minor. Where did we pull these statutes from? We actually got a help from the Alaskan Attorney General, who chose these sections to send to a letter to librarians and educators on November 16th, 2023. This letter was given to us by the librarians as reason as to why they felt they needed protection. When they received the letter, it said that no exceptions to any of these laws were listed, and frankly, it shocked the librarians when they received it.
Ms. Calhoun, we have many folks who are online to testify. If we could speed this up just a little bit.
Yeah, it does not prevent the indictment of an individual, and defenses can only be used if the employee is acting in the course of employment, such as checking out library material, discussing a museum exhibit, or explicating a passage for its literary merit. And then again, libraries' materials being checked out and discussed must pass muster with the consideration policy that we talked about before. And again, we're going to say this again, a literary artistic political value. The last part of this is a private right to action where a government entity that has the authority to purchase, select, curate, and place library material may not censor or order another person to censor this material, threaten to discipline, impose discipline, or terminate a school or a library employee for refusing to censor these materials. And if they do violate this section by firing or disciplining a school or library employee, this employee may bring a civil suit. They have the power to do so for punitive damage as well as declaratory and injunctive relief, they would be able to get their job back. Now, they also, a student has the power, if they are censored library material, they would be able to bring a civil suit for declaratory and injunctive relief to get that material back. And since we do have to have some sort of stick in this legislation, there will be damages for a minimum of $451 or a maximum of $1,451. We are not here to try to make money off of this. The coalition specifically wanted to keep this as minimum as possible, and I could not help but put in a reference to Fahrenheit 451. The same thing could happen for the author, bookseller, or a publisher. If their works were censored, they would also be able to bring a civil suit for a similar damages. And the prevailing plaintiffs should also be granted a reasonable attorney fees as well as costs, including expert fees. And a protection for the library is that funds that were previously allocated to the library could not be used to pay for damages or fees, so that they could not have their funding taken away for these other monies would have to be found for it. And I do appreciate the committee's time, and if you had any questions, we would take them now.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the presentation, although perhaps our disagreement about whether Stephen King's work has literary merit is the point of the bill. I disagree with you. Can you help me understand some of the language in the bill? It says a librarian may curate the collection, but it also says they can't block or censor. What can they do if they can't block or censor, that is, curating the collection?
For the record, Jenna Calhoun, staff to Senator Kawasaki, through the chair. When they say they may not censor the book, that means in their curating, what they're able to do is, with their own professional discretion, ensure that the collection is adhering to the needs of their community, but they wouldn't be able to ad hoc say, I will not acquire this book just because the book may be from a creator that I do not agree with. So that's the point of the legislation, is that they would have to have a reason to not include the book in their collection if it doesn't have any value.
Just to follow up.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm trying to understand better. Ultimately, curation comes down to individual decisions. This title, yes. That title, no.
Mm-hmm.
What are the allowable bases for those decisions? This title, yes. That title, no. That don't constitute blocking or censoring.
For the record, Jenna Calhoun, through the chair, the different stipulations would be if it didn't have literary merit, Stephen King or not, and then especially for school libraries, they would have to adhere to the developmental levels of the children, the grade levels in that school.
Thank you.
President Stevens.
Hi, thank you. I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. I spent a lot of my life in libraries, particularly as a graduate student, but what concerns me is that is the internet. I mean, if anything you want to find and you can't find it in your library, and however prurient it is, or however, you know, if you want to find a way to murder the chairperson, you know, you go on the internet and find it real easy, you know. Poisons are available, you know. So are we talking about the wrong thing here? I mean, it seems like we're going off the deep end here on libraries, which are really important, when in fact, any kid that you don't want them to get any information, they'll just go online and find it. I don't know if there's a question there, but
No, I'll just say that I, for the record, Senator Scott Kawasaki, Senate District P, I agree with you. I think it's super easy to get on a phone like this and type in whatever you want, find it fairly easily. And, you know, that's to the discretion of a person's parent, whether the kid has access to a phone. We wanted to create a statewide policy that really sort of meets where folks have had, how do I say, I guess sort of been bent around the axle. And this has been something that I've been working on for now just over a year. I think that if the state had a unifying policy, there would be less of these discussions at school board tables. And so that's really the whole reason for bringing this forward. It's a very systemic process. It's a process that'll be outlined in Title 14 for curation of libraries. Folks will have time to chime in one way or another on whether a book is good or bad. But it'll be a very delineated process, which is what we did not have prior to this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Can I follow up with another question? The issue of librarians being fined or imprisoned, I mean, is that a real issue?
Through the chair, I believe that the memo is in the packet under – there is a memorandum or a letter that is in the packet relating to exactly what we're talking about. And it was there was a lot of fear. This came from the Attorney General via U.S. Mail. It's dated November 16th of 2023. It's very specifically drafted to, I believe it was all libraries or all librarians or all registered libraries and librarians. And it really did just look to, and it was a citation that they were going to be just reminding people about criminal statutes, in particular Title 11, 61, 1141, and 1151 relating to enticement of a minor, contributing to the delinquency of one, or distribution of indecent material to minors. And that has really had a chilling effect, I think, with a lot of librarians. I think there's going to be folks online, actually, who testify to that as public school librarians and school librarians, that they were sort of shocked when they received the letter, and I would say that I would be shocked too.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator Yen.
Yeah, thank you, through the chair. We've got one here who loves Stephen King and one who don't. And so I feel like we're putting a lot of weight, possibly undue burden, onto one potential person here. And so, and maybe this isn't a question on from me, this is more of a statement, but it puts a lot of weight on the librarian, in my opinion, right? And so, who is the decider in many cases between what stays and what goes and this and that. And so I'm a big believer in local control. I know you spoke to it briefly earlier, how this may or may not strip away local control. But, you know, our district set up a committee with seven members from the public and four educators on there for an odd amount of people, 11, so they wouldn't have a tie on any of the books. But I think with 11 people looking at it and going over it and reading it, you get a better feel for maybe what the community would want, you know. So I'll just put that out there. I'm a big believer in local control, and I also would, whether I agree with the librarian or not on a book, as none of us would probably all agree 100% of the time, I do feel like it puts a lot of pressure on one person to make those decisions. So it's just a concern I have, like I said. So I'll watch you finish the presentation and listen to public testimony and see if that's an item that we discuss. So thank you.
Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Certainly I've received a lot of feedback on this item via email, and it was a topic of conversation in four town halls that I held over the weekend. I think it's interesting to note that one of the chief causes of parents deciding to pull their kids from public school is that they were sent home with a book whose subject matter the parents did not agree with, usually around gender, sexuality of some kind or some type in elementary school. Is it your position that those types of books be available for kids to check out in teachers' classrooms or libraries in elementary schools?
You know, so through the chair, it's not really my
you know, my decision on whether a book should be or should not be in a particular classroom. If there's a particular book, I could maybe speak to it. But, you know, I think that librarians are professional workers. They work closely, especially school librarians work very closely with teachers in the district. And they curate the volumes that children have access to or kids have access to based on their reading. And, you know, I personally haven't read probably the book you're talking about, but, you know, I think that a librarian, whether it's a librarian that's trained to be able to understand the nuance of the book and to encourage reading of all sorts, or whether it's, you know, whether you're a teacher and deciding whether a person should read a book that's on their book list. I think it really depends. And that's why we wanted to set down policy that is very specific, very deliberative, and allows for the maximum amount of parental involvement, student involvement, the teachers who maybe say you have to read this book for a test, and then, of course, the librarians who are the ones that are curating volumes.
Thank you. We're going to move on to invited testifiers as we have quite a few folks who have signed up to for public testimony. We will have another opportunity to talk through some of the concerns and some of the other suggestions and questions for committee members here at a later date. The one thing I want to ask just before we move on to your invited testifiers is there is statutory protections for students in schools for parents to opt out of any curricula, program, any type of activity. Does this bill in any way, shape, or form impede parental rights for them to opt out of particular reading materials?
Through the chair, no, it does not.
Thank you. All right. We will now move on to your invited testifiers. We are joined by the president of the Alaska Library Association, Ms. Teresa Quinner. Kleiner. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, thank you. My name is Teresa Kleiner, and I'm the current president of the Alaska Library Association, and I've been a library director in Bethel for the past 10 years. My testimony is my own and does not reflect the views of my employer. So librarians are fortunate to be able to have a job where we spark and nurture a love of reading for people from birth to old age, depending on the kind of library that we serve in. Public libraries serve people from all walks of life and from diverse backgrounds, and it is important for our library collection to reflect that. One of our most important core professional values is that libraries should provide materials and information presenting all points of view on current and historical issues, and that materials should not be removed because of partisan or doctrinal disapproval. Every library has a collection development policy that outlines how books are selected for the collection, and that includes librarians' reading reviews from quality sources like Library Journal and many others. The community also tells us what they want to read, and we purchase books based on popular demand when possible. Our goal is to always be able to fill every single book request that the community demands of us, and that frequently includes getting books through interlibrary loans so that we can ensure that people have the books that they actually want to read. Many books in academic and public libraries are not age appropriate for children, but removing them prevents access for adults as well, and we serve the whole community. We are trained to ask follow-up questions for clarity to make sure that we are guiding people towards the best books that meet their needs, and this includes children. And if parents have concerns about the appropriateness of certain content, we encourage parents to be an active participant in helping their children select books. This bill will help ensure that people from all walks of life continue to have free access to the reading material of their choice, and it will also provide some important legal protections for librarians who are doing the job that we are trained to do. Many librarians across the state have faced intimidation from a very vocal minority in recent years. And the backing of the state with this bill will provide some important protections for librarians who are doing the job that we love and that we are trained to do, and not removing books based on partisan disapproval. I do recommend that the suggested collection development policy outlined in this bill be developed not by the Commissioner of Deed, but by the Director of the Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums, with a committee of librarians to develop the policy. other than that change, I'd support this bill. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, we'll now move on to our second invited testifier. We are joined online by Savannah Fletcher, owner of Solstice Books. Ms. Fletcher, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yes, Savannah Fletcher here, and apologies. I wanted to say I had a camera available earlier. I don't know why it's no longer available, but hello. My name is Savannah Fletcher, and I'm the owner of Solstice Books, an independent bookstore in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'm here to speak in support of this bill today from the perspective of a business owner. First, I just want to say it's a great trend we're seeing across the country and in our community of Fairbanks. There's an increase in independent bookstores across our community and across the state. I opened last summer, and in these last 2 years, we've had 3 independent bookstores open in Fairbanks alone. I think this is a great sign of a business opportunity for the whole state, and also that people are excited about reading again. We have an increase in reading in schools as well. The librarians that I sell books to, thanks to all of you, now no longer having cell phones in schools, kids are reading way more. They are picking up books because they're not fiddling on their phones instead to distract themselves during the day. And sorry, one second. I have a 3-year-old in the background who is making a lot of noise.
No, you were clear.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. But with this enthusiasm for reading, we don't want to have that be dampened or chilled by threats against librarians that they will face repercussions for providing books that excite readers of all ages. And as you've already heard from the presentation today and testimony from Ms. Quinner, that is a real threat. I have had librarians, I give a discount to all school book purchases, and I've had librarians reach out to me nervous because my flyer advertising the discount put a book on the cover that wasn't on the pre-approved classroom reading book list. And I can't remember what it was. It's like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn or something, a classic. And they're like, oh no, are people buying books that aren't pre-approved? And I'm like, no, I just put a flyer together. But the fact that the flyer I sent around to let them know about their discount for books was already causing concern and anxiety for them, I really think underscores the stress that librarians and educators are feeling when they're just trying to order books. And this is not something we should be burdening them with on top of all the things they're balancing already. And so I do think the chilling effect is there. Things like the Attorney General's memo have had that impact, and I'm seeing it firsthand as a business owner when I have my customers hesitating to order books or being worried about potential repercussions. And I do want to speak in support. It's a small provision, but I think it's important that gives business owners like myself that ability to seek recourse if books are being censored. And I especially appreciate it, and I would be open to it even being modified a bit lower, but having a damages clause there as having a bit of bite here, but keeping it minimal. Again, no one wants to take more funding from our school districts. No one wants to take funding from our public libraries, but they do want some accountability so that books aren't censored improperly. And it does impact businesses like my own, because we do order books for the different librarians and teachers in our district. So I am in support of this bill, and I'm happy to answer any other questions you all have. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Any questions from committee members? Seeing none, I do want to note that there is a zero fiscal note from the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development in your bill packet. With that, we'll now move on to public testimony. I now open public testimony for Senate Bill 238. I do want to note that we do have a little over 32 people online. I am going to limit public testimony to 2 minutes, and I'm going to go in the order that people joined us online. I do want to note that if folks make any allegations or impugn anyone's motives, I will cut you off. So please keep your comments cordial and pertaining to the legislation before us. With that, we are going to have our first testifier as Gail McBride from the Fairbanks LIO. Ms. McBride, if you could hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, I am Gail McBride with Moms for Liberty in Fairbanks, and in 2 minutes is no way, of course, I can address all of the multitude of things that I've heard that I object to in this bill. Firstly, we are discussing minors, and we are discussing what the law says about minors. And so all of the changes and all to the law so that librarians are not held to the law with harmful material given to minors is simply unacceptable. We don't just change laws so that we can change them, break them. This material is damaging many, many studies. I've been reading these books. They're here in our libraries for over 2 years. And these are not books that this vulgarity, pervasive vulgarity and obscenities are not viewpoints, as are described in some of these that allow for books to be rejected. These are materials that are damaging to minors' minds, in some studies even say to the point of rewiring brains. This is a serious matter, and we should be protecting our children, not adults, to break the law. So I ask you, please, do not pass this. In 2 minutes, I can't even object to all of the things that are wrong with this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move on to Heidi Dedman from Palmer. Ms. Dedman, if you can hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Can you hear me?
We can.
My name is Heidi Dedman. I'm from Palmer, representing myself. I'm a Christian and a conservative, and I homeschooled my kids, and I have over 20 years' experience in public library service. SB 238 preserves freedom, foundational viewpoint neutrality, protects community service professionals from threats and harassment, and establishes a statewide understanding of standard legal and time-tested best practices. Laws protecting children are designed to prosecute premeditated malicious action with the intent to violate a child, not whether the possibility exists that a child might stumble upon materials that may not be appropriate for their age. This bill does not shield anyone from prosecution for actual criminal intent to harm children. It simply codifies existing professional standards and requirements. Information and education professionals are bound by ethics, laws, policies, and procedures. Collections are curated using multifaceted objective data points to meet local user interest and demand. That data is generated by what library users check out. Their use determines which books are on the shelves in their community. Performing the regular duties of an information-centric profession does not equal intent to harm children. SB 238 preserves freedom, supports competent, compassionate professionals serving families in their communities, and protects valuable, efficient, standard library practices from pernicious political agendas. I have a lot more to say on this, and I will probably send a letter, several pages, to answer some of the questions that the committee has asked and expound on these. But thank you for listening. I urge you to pass SB 238. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Dedman. And for anyone who'd like to submit written testimony, which you can do so in addition to your public testimony here today, you can send it to senate.education@akleg.gov. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. We'll now stay in Palmer, where we will hear from Allison Collins. Ms. Collins, if you can hear us, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Allison Collins, representing myself today, but I am a member of the Palmer City Council and a member of Friends of Palmer Public Library. An attorney working in the area and have a bachelor's in English literature. I am speaking today in favor of the bill. I had some comments written down here, but I think a lot of it is going to be very similar to what's been said previously. So the one part I did want to focus on is the need for the bill. Here in the Mat-Su community, there is a very small but vocal group of individuals who have made it their business to harass librarians in the area and create an environment that's not great for library patrons. And by that, I mean just to give perhaps members there who are considering this bill an idea of what's going on, is that these members have entered libraries, they've read out loud, so that everyone there at the library can hear passages from books that they feel are inappropriate. They've picketed library events, including like end of the summer reading program parties where young children are involved. You know, but just as a side note, my children never encountered anything about grooming for at the library, but did when they saw signs held by these folks outside of library events and asked me, Mom, what are they talking about that the librarians are grooming us? In addition, there's been a lot of wasted time at the political level as far as with Matt Subaru. Just recently, a bill was placed on the agenda but then removed, which would go the opposite direction of what the current bill is trying to do, in that it would allow for additional censorship.
Ms. Collins, if you could wrap up your comments.
Yes. So there is a need for this. It's been a huge issue in our community. My hope is that by having a process in place as defined in this bill would allow put some of this to rest. And thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Anchorage, where we will hear from Adrian Canio. I apologize if I mispronounced that. Adrian, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you to the chair and the committee for hearing me. My name is Adrian Canino. I'm from Anchorage and representing myself here in Anchorage. I want to express my support for the bill. Our libraries are community treasures, and it is absolutely the staff of those of the public and school libraries that make them that way, right? These staff members are just gems for our people and our families and friends, and they deserve protection from retaliation or criminalization. They're professionals, and they work hard at their craft to cultivate best practices and execute their job, which is to promote literacy and a love of reading with a collection that represents all members of the community, which is super important to me, that our Library Connect collections support all members of our community. I think it's hard enough to attract professionals to Alaska, and I think this bill helps make it easier for those folks to say yes to the opportunity. I think it's very important that Alaska protects these librarians from political censorship and set clear and transparent guidance that saves the taxpayers and the professionals unnecessary legal entanglements and headaches. So I like to say I support the bill, and I hope you do too. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move on to Wasilla, where we have Janine, and I deeply apologize, Trasinski. Janine, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
First, can you hear me? Because I can't tell if you're...
We can hear you.
Are you able to hear me? Okay. My name is Jeannie Trosinski, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I was a teacher for 36 years, 25 years in the Matsu Borough, and I have been involved in the Westville Public Library for 26 years. I'm on the Friends of the Library, and I'm speaking today as myself. I am speaking in support of Senate Bill 238, and I think it's so important that you as a committee be aware of just how literally out of control the Matsu Borough has become. A huge lawsuit was lost, which cost the school district hundreds of thousands of dollars. When that wasn't good enough, the book banners here started going after our public libraries, the borough libraries and the city libraries. I have personally seen these incredible librarians verbally harassed and attacked by these book banners. We have to do something to protect these individuals. It's absurd what they're doing. And one of the most disgraceful things about these book banners is they were shocked and very upset. It's online. They spoke upset about it in a public meeting that they had to have a library card to challenge these books. These individuals don't even use our libraries, and they are going after our librarians, our books, our freedom to read. I thank Senator so much from Fairbanks for bringing this bill forward. We have to do something to protect our librarians and our libraries. There are so many myths that are out there and lies that are being stirred up by this small group of individuals who want to make us all go to one church in Wasilla and the Matsu Borough, and it's just wrong. We are a diverse community, no matter what they ever say. And the freedom to read is critical to our current and future survival. And so I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now go on to Nanana, where we are joined by Pamela Samish. Ms. Samish, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your remarks. You have 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you so much. My name is Pamela Samish, and I sound kind of funny because I'm sick. So, and I live in Nanana, Alaska, and thank you for taking our testimony today. You know, I wrote a whole thing to say, but now I'm listening to all these comments. And I just want to speak as one of the type of people that would be with that small group that the last caller just talked about. I feel like the whole point of SB 238 is because of us. So let me just give you my perspective as one of the people who support those small groups that hold banners and protest libraries. I oppose, by the way, SB 238. Let's get that out of the way in case I get cut off. We do that because the book contains it. When they say a diverse community, they must be talking about child molesters or something, because those books are disgusting, some of them. They really are. I've seen the pictures, I've seen the images. And they talk about totally inappropriate things that children do not need to be seeing. So 238, including sex, and I'm not going to say, because I know you warned everybody that we have to be careful how we talk. So I don't want to say anything to offend you. But when she said that people read out loud stuff out of their own book and then it shocks their children, but that's in their library. I mean, that we should have the right. We're taxpaying community members to protest anything we want. So anyway, I would ask that you please oppose SB 238 and let us exercise our free right to decide what we want in our library as parents to protect our children. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now go back to the Fairbanks LIO, where we have Sally Duncan. Ms. Duncan, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, my name is Sally Duncan. I am from Two Rivers. And I thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm here in opposition of SB 238. And it is a bill protecting the librarians from being held responsible for breaking the Alaska law regarding the distribution of pornographic materials to underage persons. I can read you that law, but you probably already have a copy of it, so I'm going to forego that. I have it here if you'd like me to. The biggest problem that I see is that the state of Alaska should never, ever be distributing pornographic material to anybody, much less minors. It should never be in our libraries. If people want to get that material, they can go online and order it. They can go to some of the little stores that are here in the Fairbanks, North Pole area and purchase it. They can get it however they choose, but I choose not to pay for that distribution. And that's exactly what I'm doing when you put it in our libraries. We should never be doing that. The law speaks to the conduct unacceptable toward minors, and I do not see why this bill is even being brought forth except to exempt school librarians from the law. Explain, please.
Ms. Duncan, are you still with us?
I am, but I'm done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move on to Fairbanks, where we have David James. Mr. James, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, this is David James. Can you hear me?
We can.
I got my hands full, so I had to run and grab my phone. I just wanted to bring up an issue that isn't being sufficiently addressed, and that's just the efforts at banning books here as well as elsewhere in the country are extremely costly to taxpayers. In 2024, the website Marketplace did an analysis showing that Florida school districts dealing with book banning are spending $35,000 to $135,000 a year. Statewide in Florida, that is penalizing taxpayers millions of dollars annually. The organization Take Action for Libraries documented how these exorbitant costs are being repeated nationwide. Tens of millions of dollars are being frittered away to deal with cases brought forward by a minuscule segment of the population. The Washington Post found that over 60% of all book banning efforts across the country are originating from just 11 individuals. Here in Alaska, we have seen the result. The attempt by a handful of activists to get books banned in the Mountain Muskus Sioux Sentinel School District resulted in an $89,000 fine, among other expenses. Taxpayers were left on the hook for this money, $89,000. It could have gone to worthy borough and educational endeavors instead of fighting a lawsuit they were preordained to lose. These book banners won't quit. Left unchecked, they will continue to raise material challenges. And if municipalities act as these activists wish, lawsuits will ensue, and public monies will be redirected towards defending policies that won't hold up in court, as we saw in the Mountain Muskus Sioux Sentinel Borough. Book banning activists, who comprise a tiny fraction of the populace and are broadly unsupported by the general public, are forcing needless expenses on communities. This bill will prevent such madness in Alaska. In the interest of upholding American and Alaskan values and preventing extreme costs for Alaska's citizens, I fully support enacting this legislation. As a property holder and taxpayer, I firmly oppose small groups of individuals having the ability to force unnecessary expenses on the rest of us. In the interest of saving Alaskans enormous sums of money, please pass this bill. It is uncalled for to be dealing with this problem, quite frankly. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now go to Anchorage, where we have Steve Rollins. Mr. Rollins, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you for this time. I am Steve Rollins. I've been a librarian in Alaska since 1998, and I'm also a proud father of two children. I have greatly appreciated my freedom to read and my children's freedom to read when using the library. My choice and my children's freedom to read should not be restricted simply because of a different world view. I'm here today to speak in favor of SB 238, which provides the right for people to read in libraries what they choose to read. This is a fundamental First Amendment right of individuals to access the information that they are seeking. It is a cornerstone of democracy and America's freedom. SB 238 provides protections grounded in the U.S. Constitution. Why is it needed? It is needed to block current trends that censor materials based on disagreements with a particular viewpoint or expressed by certain authors. It is needed to protect librarians and educators from the threat of criminal actions for simply doing their professional job. It establishes uniform policies that continue the practice of selecting and reconsidering library materials in a rational manner. SB 238 supports freedom to read while retaining local selection policies in public libraries. And finally, I want to emphasize that SB 238 does not weaken Alaska's obscenity laws. SB 238 is needed to protect our freedom to read the library materials that we choose to read. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rollins. We'll now go to Wasilla, where we are joined by Melody McCool. I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, you have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon. My name is Melody McCullough. I am calling on behalf of myself. I am a parent of a student in the Matsu Borough School District. I am opposed to SB 238 for a lot of reasons. My first reason is he's trying to do away with parental parental supervision or parents having to sign to allow their kids to check out certain books. First off, pornography does not belong in our schools or in our public libraries. If you want to put pornography in public libraries, which our taxpayer dollars pay for, put it in an adult-only section, 18 and over. I do not want my student accessing that kind of crud. I'm sure, and, you know, the naysayers here in the Valley, in Matsu Borough School District, those troublemakers that they were talking about, that was brought on by the parents of the Matsu Borough. We do not want pornography in our schools. My child in middle school brought home an artist book on how to draw characters. He's very into drawing characters. This somebody had taken this book and drawn anatomy on these, it's just like stick figures, but they drew anatomy. And they drew words saying, oh, yeah, da-da-da-da. And it was very inappropriate to be in a middle school. The kids in that school drew in that book anatomy. I took that book straight to the librarian, and she's like, oh, no, no, no. I'm going to find out who checked this out last and who possibly is responsible for this. So I am adamantly opposed to this. I can't believe that you're even considering taking away parents' rights to determine what
Ms.
their
McCullough,
children should
be able
to read.
Ms. McCullough, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Thank you very much for your time. Rob, you know me. I stand with you. You know how the Matsu Borough...
Thank you for your comments. Once again, we ask for folks to provide public testimony and not necessarily talk to anyone here at the committee members at the committee table. We'll now move on to Anchorage, where we are joined by Cheryl Lovegreen. Ms. Lovegreen, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Senate Education Committee, thank you for hearing testimony on Senate Bill 238. I'm Cheryl Lovegreen, speaking as an individual in favor of the bill. Senate Bill 238 will be called many things by misguided people who want book bans in Alaska. In reality, the bill preserves our right to free speech and upholds the First Amendment of our U.S. Constitution. Most importantly, the bill does not change obscenity laws. Existing standards remain in place. If a library book is legally obscene, which rarely happens, it can be removed from the library shelves. In addition, this bill ensures a fair, transparent model review policy to reconsider or challenge materials. This allows the public to have confidence in library book collections and for parents to have the right to decide what their children can read, not for the government to overreach and decide for them. Before I go on, I have one suggestion. In the text, it states that the Commissioner of Education shall establish a model review policy. I suggest an amendment to change that position to the Director of the Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums. That person is more familiar with libraries and their policies. SB 238 also protects Alaska's public and school librarians from unfair treatment. For example, a librarian will not be fired simply because one person disagrees with a library book's theme or main character. This kind of thing has happened in other states, such as Texas and Wyoming. I encourage you all to please pass this bill. Senate Bill 238 will help school and public libraries and our families to preserve our freedom to read. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move back to Fairbanks, where we are joined by Karen Jensen. Ms. Jensen, if you can hear us, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Here today on my own. Oh, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hello? Oh, you can. Okay. My name is Karen Jensen. I'm here today on my own. Not as a representative of my employer. I've been a librarian for more than 30 years, and I'm here to ask you to support this important bill. If you haven't already had a chance to see the film on PBS called The Librarians, I urge you to do so. That addresses and highlights the real threats to libraries and librarians from a very anti-library, anti-education minority that wants to limit Americans' access to information. The incidents described in the film and this movement against librarians specifically shows the need for this bill in Alaska.
The bill protects readers who want to choose from a wide variety of perspectives, beliefs, subjects, and content, not limited to one narrow worldview. It protects adult and young adult readers from having their reading choices restricted to only a first grade level book selection. It also protects the public's right to challenge a book by ensuring that a process is in place that will be fair in evaluating each work on its own merits, using precedents in law and court findings. This bill is a good start in the right direction. It does need some amendments. First, the good. The policy minimums are excellent. The bill generally preserves local control and minimizes outsider influence. The bill calls on librarians and others to act in good faith. The bill allows for citizens to make appeals for reconsideration on a case-by-case basis. I also echo the suggestion that other testifiers have made that the model policy should be created, edited, updated, and promulgated by the state librarian rather than a political appointee of the governor. Such a person should be an experienced librarian or a committee of librarians, people who understand the difference between selection and censorship, and who understand how to manage the legitimate concerns of some citizens alongside the rights of everyone else to choose what they read. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now head to Wasilla, where we have Mary Robinson. Ms. Robinson, if you could identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Mary Robinson. I'm a resident of Wasilla, Alaska, which is part of the Mat-Su Borough, and I represent myself. Everyone is so articulate, but what I would like to say is there have always been parental rights. There still are parental rights. So I disagree with, there have always been parental rights. It breaks my heart. Governor Dunleavy proclaims February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention Month. But yet many of the books that have been challenged, which is absolutely their right, dissent is the bedrock of our democracy, as is free and equal access to information. A lot of the books that have been challenged and have been vilified and maligned would absolutely help teens be aware of what dating violence is and how they might go about preventing. As I go around town on a daily basis, I wear my button that says intellectual freedom and I read banned books. At least 4 to 5 people stop me every day and say, why? Why are people trying to impose their political and religious worldviews on us? And I said, I don't know. That's between them and their creator. But you do have the right to read what you want. You do have the right to access information. And I believe that strongly. I've believed that for 60 plus years. I have had a library card since I was 3 years old. And this is my line in the sand. I go to city council meetings. I go to school board meetings. I go to assembly meetings. And I speak night after night after night for intellectual freedom, and I will continue to do so, and I will expand upon my thoughts to the website, the email that you provided for us. Thank you for your time and listening to me this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll stay in Wasilla to hear from Claire McKay. Ms. McKay, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, ma'am. My name is, I'm sorry, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. My name is Claire McKay, and I am a resident of the Mat-Su Borough and live in the Wasilla area. A common rhetoric of opponents of the Freedom to Read bill that you see that you are looking at today is the claim that there is material that they find objectionable that is being distributed to minors simply by being present in the public library. A collection is not a curriculum, which is something that opponents of this bill fail to realize. The existence of books aimed at adults with adult topics in the adult section is not the same thing as being intentionally distributed to a minor. This bill actually recognizes parental authority by declining to sanitize spaces with adult areas for children. It is my responsibility as a parent to guide and support my child. If I allow her to find material that I do not believe is age appropriate, that is my responsibility to discuss my stance with her, not the librarian's responsibility to safeguard an adult or older age area on the potential that a child may encounter. to address an earlier comment about the responsibilities being added to librarians. I feel this actually lessens the responsibility on librarians instead of having to cater to the potential of a child encountering material. It embraces the fact that we are a diverse community. I am a Matsu Borough taxpayer. I am an avid patron of libraries, and I am a mother of a young Matsu School District child who is also an avid library patron, to the point where she had to get her own bag for library books because we both check out too many. I will send the rest of my comments via email because I have some comments about specific questions that senators had posed, but I urge you to pass this bill to protect your librarians, librarian staff who are being unfairly targeted in these campaigns of anti-intellectualism and restriction, and to protect the freedom to read and your community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now go to Fairbanks, where we have Nicholas Peterson. Mr. Peterson, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Nicholas Peterson. I live in Fairbanks and I'm retired from the U.S. Air Force and have a master's in education. My wife, Jennifer, has a PhD in educational psychology and has been a college professor and administrator at multiple universities. I represent myself and support SB 238. In America today, we have organizations dedicated to inhibiting the pursuit of knowledge, and in so doing seeks to punish the very professionals who are trained and educated to ensure that age-appropriate material is available for students to read and learn. And if the body adopts criminal liability as a policy tool, the predictable outcome is simple: fewer books, fewer choices, and more fear in children who have fewer representative pieces of literature to learn from. Librarians are not the villains. Considering the Diary of Anne Frank, it was written when the girl was 13 years old and she died at the age of 15. Why is her book banned? Because the content is uncomfortable? Why would we not want our children to read the writings of another child's lived experience? My grandmother lived in a World War II concentration camp, and she was Russian, not Jewish, yet she still lived in that horrific time. I would want my children to read those historical accounts because they helped students think, empathize, and grapple with history and human experience. Some books may not be appropriate for a first grader, but there may be fifth graders who are capable of reading and comprehending the moral lessons in such books. And teachers and librarians have the training and education to help make those decisions for students. My greatest point is that learning and education is not linear. It isn't a ladder to simply climb. Learning and education is a tree with multiple branches, and I always encourage people and students to step out onto those branches and learn something new. Abject censorship on the limbs of one organization should not prevent the education of others. The presence of difficult material is not, by itself, a reason to remove a book. The question is how it is taught, how it is contextualized.
Mr. Peterson, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Appropriate choices for their children. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll stay in Fairbanks with Tiffany Supley. Tiffany, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, my name is Tiffany Supley from Fairbanks. I represent myself. I am calling to oppose SB 238. I believe now more than ever it's important for parents to have trust in the public school system, and this does the opposite of that. I can tell you as a parent that pulled 4 kids from the school here in our state that this is the type of language we exactly do not want to hear. To hear the lady speak and say a parent having the right to choose for their child not to check out a book would be infringing on the child. I'm sorry, but we are responsible for our children and the choices they make and the way they are formed. And it should absolutely be a parent's right to say, no, you're not going to check that book out right now. I think the whole language of it all is extremely concerning. I think librarians should be held responsible for what is in their library. And I agree that librarians and all teachers are stretched completely thin, but that doesn't mean you take away accountability. That means you add the accountability onto the librarians, where they will then add the accountability onto their employer, and the employers can figure out how to fix the system, not just let it go because they find that the accountability might get somebody in trouble. That's not going to put any faith back into
our schools. And a school library is completely different than the public library. I actually would be in agreement with something for public libraries where a parent is choosing if they're dropping their kid off or taking their kid into the library. A school is supposed to be somewhere you can drop your kid off and know that the people they are around are going to be held accountable, to know that they're safe, to know that they're accessing materials that they would
allow.
Ms.
Supley, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Okay. Not all of us allow our children free access to the internet, as I heard that that might be a reason that allowing it would be okay, but some of us.
Thank you, Ms. Supley. You can send the remainder of your comments to the committee at senate.education@akleg.gov. Folks, we still have quite a few folks online to testify, so we're going to ask that you really hold yourself to 2 minutes. We'll stay in Fairbanks with Rachel Cohen. Ms. Cohen, if you could please identify yourself to the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Can you hear me? My name is Rachel Cohen.
We can.
Excellent. Thank you. I've never done this before. Forgive me. My name is Rachel Cohen, and I am representing myself. So I am a professional librarian in Fairbanks, Alaska. My testimony does not reflect the views of any of the libraries which I've ever worked or my current employer. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I was born and raised in Alaska, and our libraries have always been a cornerstone of my life. I'm here to speak in strong support of this bill, which protects the fundamental American values of free speech, local decision-making, and professional integrity. Nothing in this bill stops a parent from making an individual decision about what is appropriate for their child. It simply helps protect the idea that each parent has a right to make those decisions, and they do not have the right to make those decisions for other people's children. I have one mild concern about the bill, and it is that the requirement that local governing bodies adopt the commissioner's model policy and all future updates centralizes ongoing authority over library operations at a state level. I would echo the suggestion that the model policy should be managed by the state librarian rather than by a political government appointee who may not have any library background or experience. This bill safeguards intellectual freedom, prevents government overreach, and protects library employees from retaliation. And these are principles that should unite us all. Libraries are a place where every Alaskan, regardless of age, background, or belief, can access reliable information and explore ideas, even those that are controversial or unpopular. And that's the essence of a free society. Ideas should be open to all. And librarians should never face personal liability for doing their jobs in good faith. And this bill ensures that. The law does not protect criminal activities or criminal intent. It only protects professionals trying to do their job. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now move to Wasilla, where we have Mike Coons. Mr. Coons, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, my name is Mike Coons from Wasilla, speaking for myself, and I strongly oppose SB 238. First off, our handful of local activists are way more than the minute amount of the LGBTQ community. As Pam said, this bill is because of us. The First Amendment works. We will continue to fight librarians that violate our minors. I have worked with many fellow conservatives and parents in pushing hard in Palmer and Wasilla to stop having LGBTQ books in our library's children's section. As much as I disagree with these books, if an adult wants to read these books, knock yourself out. We've had direct head-to-head fights with library boards and librarians that do not see anything wrong with these books that push LGBTQ language. The Mat-Su School Board made great headway. The Mat-Su has a board that reviews these books. Sadly, Palmer and Wasilla, not so much. Yet several librarians still do not want to follow the dictates of the community, much less Anchorage or other areas of the state. I sadly have read some of these books, and it's like reading from Hustler, Penthouse, etc. Under the law, if it is of no literary value and is seen by the majority of the community as blatantly offensive, it is porn. Thus, when librarians and librarian board allow this, they are in violation of the law. As to censorship, this is not. All we want is librarians to ensure these books are only in the adult sections and not allowed to be checked out by minors. Again, if an adult wants to read these books, go for it. Thus, librarians can check out these books to adults. That is very simple. Lastly, we have seen several librarians have no problem giving out this type of book, be it in a public or school library. These librarians must be held responsible for unlawful action and giving out what they feel is okay, no matter what the law, public, and parents know to be blatantly offensive and harmful to
Mr. their
children.
Mr. Coons, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Yes, these books must be stopped. The library stopped it still cold.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll stay in Wasilla, where we have David Boyle. Mr. Boyle, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, this is David Boyle. Can you hear me?
We can.
Chairwoman Tobin, committee members, I'm David Boyle testifying myself. I strongly oppose Senate Bill 238. I note the three major listed objectives of this bill by the sponsor are, one, create a statewide policy, two, provide protections for school employees, librarians, and museum employees, and three, to empower parents. Let's look at these three objectives. Firstly, whenever I hear about K-12 education policy, I also hear the term local control repeatedly. Supporters of K-12 education say the local community and school districts know what's best for them. So statewide policy flies in the face of this local control. What may be obscene in the Matsu School District may not be obscene in the Juneau School District. And a previous testifier or staffer said, mentioned the Supreme Court decision versus California, it allows for community standards to be applied, and that what is considered obscene can vary by these communities. Now, secondly, this bill provides protections for government employees, but absolutely none for minor students and their parents. As a matter of fact, one will note that this bill kicks parents to the proverbial curb and negates their parental authority, replacing it with government authority. It states, quote, access to library materials must not be restricted, and parental permission is not required for minors, end quote. Why aren't parents involved in this? Why are they left out of the equation? Thirdly, nowhere in the bill did I see where parents were empowered, as it says in the third objectives of the bill. On the contrary, all their rights to raise their children were removed by this bill when it comes to obscene reading material. Now let's look at the Attorney General's letter, 16 November 2023. It states that, quote, harmful to minors, end quote, means that the average individual applying contemporary community standards would find the material taken as whole appeals to the prurient interest in sex of persons under 16 years of age. Once again, local control, known as community standards, not statewide policy.
Mr. Boyle, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Yes, I will. Thank you. There are no exceptions to any of the laws above for administrators, teachers, or for librarians. We should not exempt these employees from the law, and all other Alaskans must be subject to them. Thank you very much for the opportunity to oppose this bill.
Thank you. We'll now move to Fairbanks, where we'll hear from Kathy Kaiser. Ms. Kaiser, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Kathy Kaiser, and I live in Sutton, part of the Matsu Borough, which is a hotbed for censorship. Over the past several years, one elderly woman from Palmer has filed dozens of book challenges across all five of our public borough libraries, creating a substantial administrative backlog and costing taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. For the past 6 months, she's even been challenging books written for adults. At the same time, our borough mayor has effectively turned the library board into a censorship board by appointing members who openly support book banning. One member doesn't even have a library card. Recently, borough administration changed the library collection development policy. Now, each of our five librarians must submit a monthly list of all proposed purchases. These lists, usually around 500 items, are then handed to the library board for approval. None of the board members are trained librarians, yet they read the list and flag materials they personally consider inappropriate. At the February meeting, the board chair flagged items based solely on their title. Once an item is flagged, librarians are prohibited from ordering it. As a result, our new release and bestseller shelves are growing increasingly bare. The mayor, administration, assembly, and library board are placing the borough at serious legal risk by violating the First Amendment. Librarians, using their professional training, are responsible for selecting materials according to established policy. That responsibility should not be handed over to untrained citizens with narrow religious or political agendas. The mayor has used her political power to impose her personal religious beliefs on public institutions. These policy changes and administrative practices are not theoretical or hypothetical. They are occurring in the MAPSU borough right now. The effects on library operations, staff workload, and access to new materials are already measurable.
Ms. Kaiser, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Thank you. It will protect against attempts to censor library collections, preserve access to a broad range of viewpoints, and guarantee that a trained librarian participates in any challenge.
If you could please keep your comments to 2 minutes, folks. I know it's challenging. We will stay in Fairbanks with Marco Kinnikin. I apologize, as I know I did not say that correctly. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, you have 2 minutes.
My name is Mariko Kinnikin from Fairbanks. I am a school librarian speaking in support of the library bill, and I'm retiring next year, even though I have a good 10 years left in me. Because of the current climate surrounding libraries and librarians, I'm disgusted with the way we are maligned, questioned, mocked, doxed, and lied about in the Fairbanks community arena by hostile residents. Legal protection for doing our jobs would go far in making library staff feel safe in their jobs. We often feel unsafe and insecure, both due to funding and to public vitriol. As a transferred school employee due to school closures, I inherited a library collection at a new site, 12,000 books, which I did not purchase, but now I have to answer for. Many districts also make the budgetary choice to employ paraprofessionals as the sole library worker who may have not had as much access to the practice of curation and advocacy experience needed to stand up for themselves in the face of very aggressive groups like we've heard here today. There's no way I could read every book that we consider for the library. Instead, I rely on professional selection tools such as Teaching Books and School Library Journal, both of which are district paid subscriptions, and not all librarians have access through their district or borough. It scares me to think that some other organized hate group could decide that something that someone else put in the library 12 years ago means that I go to jail. It scares me that an enraged community member can decide that a book that I chose after professional selection tools listed for grades 9 through 12 could turn around and say that it's pornographic. And even if they are wrong and I'm exonerated, the stress, time, and public-facing toll this would take might be too much to bear. I cannot remain a school librarian if every book has the potential to get me fired and jailed. Fairbanks has a robust policy. There are robust selection tools, and parents have robust rights that they can exercise for their children. As long as I'm operating within the parameters of the collection development policies of my employer, I should not be subject to additional legal recourse. Remove threats and barriers so I can get back to the work that I love while I am still free to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kinnikin. We'll stay in Fairbanks and hear from Carolyn Keller. Ms. Keller, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes. We will now move to, we'll stay in Fairbanks and hear from Kelly Nash, the founder of Interior Patriots. Ms. Nash, if you could hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Kelly Nash. I'm calling from Fairbanks. I am in opposition of Senate Bill 238, sponsored by Scott Kawasaki. I find it odd that the first name of it was Library Material Policy Censorship, and then it was changed to the Freedom whatever. hold on, I lost my notes here. Oh, no.
Ms. Nash, are you still with us?
Oh, Freedom to Read Act. Sorry, here we go. It brazenly protects adults over the safety and innocence of our children in school libraries, directly infringes on parental rights, and the timing is insulting after the January 2026 Epstein files release exposing grooming, network, minor exploitation, and hidden motives in trusted institutions. Parents are on high alert, yet this bill demands we blindly trust librarians and staff with good faith defenses against distributing indecent materials to minors. It's safe, that's nonsense. Code for don't question us. We can't always sponsor ulterior motives. And once graphic context, bondage, anal, oral sex depiction, pedestry, scene, masturbation guides, distinguished as education, lands in school libraries, accessible without our consent, the harm is done. I am shocked we're not prioritizing protection of children's minds is a real God-tier motive, shielding the system and adults from potential scrutiny instead of safeguarding young minds from desensitizing, confusing, or grooming material. If kids came first, we'd require parental consent for explicit content and schools empower school boards to remove harmful books easily, not tie their hands and grant them. This assaults parental rights, constitutional right to direct our children's upbringing, education, and morals. SB 238 bans school boards for
Ms. Nash, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Yeah, I absolutely oppose this, and I think there's ulterior motives, and I think that this day and age that we cannot trust anyone.
Thank you, Ms. Nash, for your comments.
Especially when it comes.
We'll take a brief at ease. We're back on the record here in Senate Education. A few of our committee members, including myself, have a budget subcommittee tonight. However, we're going to get through our remaining testifiers to ensure that everyone who signed up does have an opportunity to provide their testimony. I do want to remind folks, if they could please stay to the two-minute time. I apologize that it is so short, but we do have quite a few folks online. Additionally, I just want to encourage folks to keep their comments clean and PG. We do have children and folks who do listen to this testimony, as well as to not impugn the motives of any of the lawmakers here at the dais or who are in the legislature. With that, we will now move to Soldotna, where we have Joan Kaur. Ms. Kaur, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, Joan Kaur from Soldotna, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. And I just think parents have a right to protect their children from sexually explicit material, that we want to protect young minds. And I'm thinking mainly of schools, but they're supposed to be safe, protected institutions of learning. And we have many teachers and librarians that want to protect children, but there's also those with agendas who put materials out specifically to me, in my opinion, to exploit children. It does affect the young mind. And distributing illicit sexual material to underage children is illegal in the state of Alaska, unless they take that law off the book. And the thing that bothers me is some of these books that are in classrooms or the library, we can't read those out loud at our school board meeting because they're pornographic. We can't show people the pictures because they're pornographic. But kids are allowed to read it or sometimes required to read it against their will. And they talk about local control with this bill. Where is the local control? It sounds like government's going to take rule over parents and parental rights are removed. I don't think any of that is right. And I don't call this book banning. This is protecting our youth. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Kaur. We'll head to Anchorage, where we hear from Carolyn Storm. Ms. Storm, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Tobin and members of this committee. I want to be clear that I am testifying this evening as myself and not in a professional sense. I'm going to keep my testimony very short and just say that I echo the testimony of Heidi Dedman, Nicholas Peterson, and Mariko Kinnikin, and I support this bill. I want to thank Senator Kowalski for bringing it forward. I do not believe that parental rights are being diminished or infringed upon with this bill. We are protecting the professionals who have devoted their careers
to curating collections that are right for their communities. And I will leave it at that. Thank you very much and support this bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Storm. We'll now head to Fairbanks, where we have Tenica Fontana. Tenica, if you can identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm here. My name's Tenica Fontana, and I'm a citizen in Fairbanks, speaking as a citizen of Alaska, and on behalf in favor of the bill. So there's a lot to cover, but for starters, the libraries already have a protocol of not policing or observing what patrons check out while they're at the library, part of the whole patron privacy thing, which makes sense. Libraries are big on patron privacy. If a patron approaches a librarian for help, then it's initiated by the patron. Librarians are just, you know, helpful folks like that. They are in a safe place for citizens, where citizens can learn about things that they don't want to discuss with judging or uncaring family members or friends. If family members or friends are unsupportive or critical of interest, people are liable to research these matters on their own anyway. So wanting to prop the door open to punish librarians seems silly and unnecessary, not to mention the opening gambit for further censorship in our communities. And I know there's been a lot of word choosing, saying porn in the hands of children and some such, but let me counter with this. A film with a sex scene does not a porno film make. Just because there exists sex, nudity, whatever, does not mean it is meant to be porn. It's a film with a scene, and books are no different. Books are amazing and wonderful because they can and do address the complexities of life, all walks of life, beautiful, messy, awful, complex life. Calling a book pornography for a scene is a stretch, and I can guarantee the contested books currently in libraries, even school libraries, are not actual porn, just includes some uncomfortable truth about existing in a world with a body. They have contextual worth, even if those worths are uncomfortable with some people. Librarians are professional, and they curate based on community needs and wants. And in schools, everything is age-appropriate. And also, fun fact, do you know that Alaska is unique because Alaskans have a library system that is active across most of the state and not limited to an individual boroughs? So, like, this is such a resource to hear people in the lower 48 complaining about their local library being severely limited or even censored. It's humbling, considering we live in an amazing state where all the libraries work together to provide for everyone. So, in closing, thank you for your time and letting me speak on something I am so passionate about. Let's protect our libraries and our librarians, and thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now head to Anchorage, where we have Paul McDonough. Paul, if you can hear us, if you will please identify yourself and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Paul McDonough. I live in Chugiak, and today I'm representing myself and supporting my 4 children and my wife. I'm a former teacher from Chugiak High School, and I have the great honor of being married to a current National Board certified high school teacher. I'm testifying strongly in favor of 238 because schools should not be the site of a partisan divide. In Anchorage, we did do some common sense legislation to protect teachers and librarians about 5 or 6 years ago, but teachers I speak with are still fearful for their careers. I've spoken with every high school English department chair in ASD, and they have told me, yes, our teachers do still remove books from their syllabus. They say this isn't district policy, but it's to avoid catching the attention of anybody on Twitter who's looking for a 20-second soundbite for their social media feed. That's why legislation like this is necessary. It protects our teachers, and it sets the standard at a higher level than local enforcement. This bill will restore the lost feelings of common sense and security in our schools. So I ask the committee please pass SB 238 and uplift our teachers by granting these professional protections. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now head to Fairbanks, where I have Medea Buckley. Ms. Buckley, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, I am Nina Buckley, an Alaska resident since 1970 in Fairbanks, living in our log home that my husband and I built. At this point, I'm a retired civic educator. Although retired, I think it is fitting that I begin my testimony with the following well-known words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. How do these words from 1776 frame my support of SB 238? It's because of this promise of equality and respect for individual rights expressed in the Declaration of Independence, our nation's birth certificate. Further, both the founders of the U.S. Constitution and our Alaska Constitution found it imperative to protect individual rights from government encroachment. Ideally, this legislation should not be needed, but when those in opposition use the sentiments of the Declaration to claim that liberty allows them to take liberty from others, it tramples the Declaration's intent. To declare that a single opinion should prevail goes counter to the equality of promise enshrined in the Declaration. SB 238 follows the Alaska tradition of recognizing the equality and the dignity of each individual to decide his or her destiny. Whether in dealing with the unique set of challenges Alaska presents, and in this case, a visit to the library. Specifically, this bill provides a process for reviewing challenge material. Additionally, libraries, unfortunately, what is essentially censorship are protected by this bill. I have a bill using funding and committee passage as this bill turns me into support continues. In light of this reason, I strongly urge passage.
Ms. Buckley, if you could please wrap up your comments.
And thanks, Senator Kett. I'll take the opportunity to present that testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now head to Anchorage, where we have Sandra Haman. Sandra, if you can hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Sandra Haman from Anchorage, and I'm representing myself in support of Senate Bill 238. I'll be brief. I really just want to make 2 points. One, I think it's really important for the state to ensure 2 things, that books available through schools and public libraries reflect the interests of all Alaskans, and 2, that all Alaskans have access to those books without fear of negative repercussion. And I submit additional comments in writing, and I want to say that librarians shouldn't be a dangerous profession. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll head back to Fairbanks, where we have Josh Fettelim. Josh, if you can hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, my name is Josh Fettelim. I'm calling in opposition to this bill for 2 primary reasons. First off, my profession is that of organizing a paramedic. As I encounter patient populations and the ravages of some people who take material and try to live it out at the expense and trauma of others, because the symptoms I'm tired of having to deal with. I wish there was a way to segregate and leave libraries free for open and public forum in the setting of adults and the general public, and allow schools to be a place of learning that puts some focus on important subject matters such as history, science, math, and all the other subjects that our school system seems to be so struggling in. The second reason would be that while many groups are saying this is a fringe group that rejects this bill, I would point you back to the voter rolls. By leaving it in a system that is controlled by voters, you guarantee that it becomes a majority process instead of a minority and select interest of a few. Again, this bill was to be edited in such a way that only reflected public libraries, not county school libraries. I think you'd do a lot to regain the trust of the Alaska voters, and most importantly, the Alaska parents that send their kids to school and have been withdrawing their kids from public school at an alarming rate due to the fact of turning schools into political experiment grounds and parents not wanting their kids to have put up with that. That's all I've got to say. Y'all have a great evening.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now head to Anchorage, where we have Rosalind Grady-Weich. Roz, if you can hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Okay.
So my name is Madeline Grady Weiss. I am the Alaska Education Chair for the NAACP. I am here because I would like to address the amount of misinformation circulating in this conversation. There have been repeated claims that schools are distributing pornography to children. That is a serious allegation. It implies criminal conduct, and serious allegations require evidence, not viral screenshots, not isolated passages removed from context, and not emotional charged language. The legal definition of obscenity is specific, and it is not based on discomfort. It is not based on selective excerpts, and it is based on established legal standards. Using the word pornography loosely does not make something illegal. It simply inflames the room. Misinformation spreads quickly when fear is involved, but policy cannot be shaped by fear. It must be shaped by facts. If criminal laws are violated, there are mechanisms to address that, and all the districts that I know in the state of Alaska have laws in place to address that. Law enforcement exists, prosecutors exist, court exists. What we cannot do is allow public narratives to replace legal standards. Repeating a claim loudly does not make it true. When misinformation goes unchallenged, it damages trust in educators, undermines institutions, and distracts from real issues facing our children: literacy gaps, digital exposure, and academic outcomes. As adults, we have a responsibility to elevate this discourse. We owe children truth, we owe educators and librarians fairness, and we owe this state policy grounded in fact, not frenzy. We cannot allow emotionally charged accusations to erode literacy access in the name of protection. If the book meets legal definition of obscenity, existing law addresses it. So we will not govern by moral panic. We will not vilify educators for operating within policy, and we will not allow the freedom to read to be diminished by performative outrage. Children protection deserves serious.
Roz, if you could please wrap up your comments.
Spectacle. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll now head to Palmer, where we have Michael Bolus. Michael, if you can hear us, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Michael Bowles. I'd like to disclose I do sit on the Mat-Su Borough Assembly, and I am the District 25 chairperson for the Alaska Republican Party. Today I speak on my own behalf. My opinions are my own. So I call in as I was the sponsor for the bill that moved forward, excuse me, the ordinance that moved forward for the Mat-Su Borough. And I have to say that keeping policies like this at the local level really are the best way to accomplish things. My experience was, there is a very large group of people that have concerns, and their concerns are valid. I've seen the material. I can email you the books if you'd like. But the issue is that we have robust policy in place. We have great borough staff, great borough librarians. And so after lots of meetings, attending community council meetings and those types of things, I came to the conclusion that more law was unnecessary. And so here in Alaska, I think we pride ourselves that this is a place that we are free and that we can regulate ourselves, and creating more law to, address something that's maybe a minor issue isn't necessarily the right approach. Also, I'd like to say with recent court opinions, specifically in Lano, right now is probably not the best time for the state of Alaska legislature to try to open themselves up for a lawsuit. There is precedent right now that will be on the side of those of us that have concerns with material that are in public libraries. So I just I oppose this. I think that you should just go ahead and pull this bill. It's unnecessary. The local communities have great people that are in the positions to really protect minors and really take care of what they need at the local level and just maintain the personalities of their communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Our final testifier today is from Fairbanks, Mikhail Ramirez. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, and please correct my horrible pronunciation of your name.
It's okay. Good afternoon. My name is Miguel Ramirez, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I represent myself. I am in opposition to Bill 238. This bill is not about censorship. It's about holding librarians, not all librarians. We have great librarians throughout our borough up here and throughout Alaska. It's holding account librarians that allow minors to check out sexually explicit items without the parent there to do it. If you're 18 years or older, that is fine. You can read what you want. This is not about censorship. And I'll follow to the lady that testified, a couple of our founding fathers would have never allowed our children to get a hold of any sexually explicit items, nor would they allowed our librarians to give minors these books and check out those books in that day and age. So our founding fathers never had to worry about something like this because they would never allow it to happen. Second of all, this is, y'all are great legislatures, senators. You already know that there's another law in place that prohibits any adult over the age of 18 to give or distribute any pornographic sexual explicit material to minors. So y'all are parents, grandparents, maybe great-grandparents. I know if I was standing on a corner handing out some kind of material like this, I would be arrested, rightfully so, as anyone else would. This is to hold the librarian accountable should that librarian decide that they are the parent and that that child can have access to sexually explicit materials. I'm not saying this is about censorship. Like I said, if you're 18 or older, there should be a space available to you to read what you want. We must let our children be children, and we must let our parents be parents and let the parents be the decision makers of their childhood's formation and education, culture, custom, or whatever they want to. Now, if the parent chooses to check out the book and teach the children themselves.
Mr. Ramirez, if you could please wrap up your comments. Thank you. I see no other folks online to testify and no one here in the room. I'm going to close public testimony for Senate Bill 238. You can still submit your comments for public testimony to senate.education@akleg.gov. That is senate.education@akleg.gov. We'll continue to take public testimony online for this legislation. Senator Kawasaki, before we adjourn, do you have any further comments?
I wanted to thank the Senate Education, for the record, Scott Kawasaki, Senator for Fairbanks. Wanted to thank the committee for staying long. There was obviously a lot of folks that are interested in the bill, both for and against, and we want to try to make sure to answer any of the questions that folks might have. We'll talk to you individually at various times, and we'll also post more materials so that the folks online could be reassured that we are trying to establish a very deliberative system that parents can be involved in and that parents will be involved in and avoid censorship at the same time. I don't want to address any of the particular details, but thank you very much for this opportunity today.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. Any wrap-up comments before we adjourn for today? Senator Yunt.
Yeah. Thank you through the chair. To the chair, first of all, thank you for letting everybody finish their public testimony. I know it made for a long day, but I think it was the right thing to do, for sure. I'll circle back to where I started a couple hours ago. I think allowing one person to make these decisions, whether you agree with them or not, and I don't think any two people would ever agree on 100% of things, right? But putting all of that weight on one person, the librarian, I think is a little bit excessive. So I'll circle back to where I started. Like I said, I like the idea of local control. I like the committee that we set up at home or where I'm from with 7 members of the public and 4 members from the district for 11 members total. I'm not saying everybody should do it that way, but it worked for us. And I think anytime you have a body of 5, 7, 9, or 11 people reading something, it's an odd number. They can't have a tie vote. You're probably going to come out with a pretty good decision based on what the community feels. And so I'll just leave it at that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Yunt. It sounds like there may be some amendments or changes to the bill that folks here on the committee are interested in exploring with you, the bill sponsor. Please work with the bill sponsor or my office on any amendments to the legislation, and we'll continue to work with the bill sponsor on taking some of the comments we heard from public testifiers as well to consider and include in the legislation, which we'll bring back at a future date. With that, that concludes our agenda for today. I want to thank Susan and Mary Gwen for sticking with us for this extra half hour. We typically don't go over, and I really appreciate their time. ensuring that we can get all these comments captured on the public record. Our next meeting of the Senate Education Committee will be on Wednesday, March 4th. We will receive a presentation from the University of Alaska about the College of Education Consortium. I am quite excited about this presentation. We will also have our first hearing for Senate Bill 209 relating to high school graduation requirements and proficiency confirmation tools, sponsored by Senator Bjorkman. As there is no other business before the committee today, I will adjourn us at 5:34 p.m.